them. Okay. All right, ready? Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
All right, so this is the earliest we have ever recorded a podcast, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Melanie had to set her alarm.
Yes, for the crack of 8:45. I had to roll out of bed at the crack of 8:45 a.m.
Because your preferred summer schedule, as we have discussed, is to stay up really late and then sleep until maybe 11.
Yes, that is my preferred, even though I really have not been sleeping until 11. I have been sleeping until 9:30 or 10.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I can't sleep late. So,
no.
So I was sort of up and at them about 6:15, 6:30. But here's the thing. So we planned today that we were going to have a big conversation with Annie Downs. But of course, we did not test the waters or anything beforehand. Because why would you do that? Why would you make any kind of plan or preparation? Or, you know, like see what your technology would support. And so we got on Skype with Annie and I realized that I could not record two other people at the same time.
Yes. Do you think that's because that they aren't going to allow you to like sabotage somebody?
Suddenly we took a Sidney Bristow twist. Like, how do you mean? I'm all for a CIA conspiracy. I'm just curious.
I guess, but see, I haven't woken up. I didn't really think that through.
No, I'm interested though. Go ahead.
But don't you remember, like, you probably never did this because you were probably a nicer person than me, but don't you remember, like, in junior high and high school, you would, like, call somebody on three-way and one person would just sit there and you didn't know that the other person was on the phone?
I get you now. See, I didn't get to do that because my daddy would not pay for any extra phone services. We did not have call waiting until I was in college.
Oh, that's tragic.
Oh, yeah. He would not. If you were on the phone, you needed to have the conversation with the person you were talking to. It was rude to click over. And the end. So we had nothing like that until I was in college.
Okay. Well, I have to say now, in my 40s, I've come back around to where I agree with your daddy. Don't tell me you're going to hold on to see if there's a better offer on the
Right. Sure. Yeah.
But as a 16-year-old who was fielding multiple calls all at once for my social life, the call waiting seemed very crucial. But I guess really, though, the recording, the three-way doesn't really, because you would know that, well, you're recording three people, so you couldn't really sabotage anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason, it wouldn't work. Hold on. I'm moving my microphone. Can you still hear me?
Uh-huh. I can hear you.
So I couldn't record, and I'm going to have to investigate that. I just didn't take time to investigate it since I had both you and Annie on Skype. So we hung up, I talked to Annie, and now we're going to talk. And then we thought about recording some things where you said stuff like,
"Oh, Annie, that is hilarious."
Yeah, and I just drop it in.
Annie, that is delightful. Annie, tell me a little bit about your new book, Let's All Be Brave.
Yes, yes. And so we decided not to do that. So I'm just going to play what Annie and I talked about, and which I will tell you, you'll be proud to know, went from her book to the Real Housewives of New Jersey. So
well,
it fit right in. Yeah, it fit right in with our normal.
As it should. Let's all content. Be brave.
All right, everybody. I've got Annie Downs on the here on the podcast. Here's the thing: we have this big dream for like Melanie and Annie and me all on the Skype at the same time, and I had no way to record it, which means
and yet it remains a dream.
It remains a dream. That's right. So Annie got to see firsthand how Melanie and I really aren't kidding when we say we have no idea what we're doing.
I just saw firsthand that it really is a professional gig, as I always imagined when
sure
I listen to the podcast.
Sure it is. Yeah, it is. Annie said she felt like she was seeing behind the curtain, and I told her she was really seeing behind kind of an old towel.
It's true. That is exactly what you said, and I laughed just as hard.
Okay, so Annie has a book coming out tomorrow called Let's All Be Brave. And Annie, how you doing?
Man, you know, I am so nervous today.
You are?
Yes. I was just making a smoothie with like spinach and all these good things while eating M&M cookies. I was like, this is a sign. This is a sign of how I'm feeling. Yeah, I'm just nervous today.
Oh, I get it. You know what? I'm trying to finish this book, and I got sort of tickled a little while ago. I was working on something, and I looked over, and I have a gallon-sized Ziploc next to my computer that is full of peanuts and M&M's and raisins.
Oh, yes. See, yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And I just had this thought this morning of like, it comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
What then?
Okay. So tell me.
Like everything's been leading up to July 15th and then it's the 16th. I don't know what happens on the 16th.
Well, but the 15th's going to be good. The 15th's going to be really good. Okay. So tell me, what's your favorite part about it coming out? Like, what are you most looking forward to?
Oh, okay. About it coming out, I am most looking forward, you know, at this point, probably a good percent of my friends have read it and have seen it.
Yes.
And I loved that. I mean, I just love that my friends are finally getting to see it. So I think what'll be the most fun is like in tomorrow when everybody orders it and 2 days later when they get it and people start reading it. That's probably the most fun, I mean, you know, because that's the work we put in. That's, and you know this firsthand, but man, that book about sent me over the edge, right?
So. I know. But here, see, that's the thing. That's the thing I'm most excited about for you, I guess, is that that book is your heart. Like it is like to kind of see the behind the scenes a little bit of all those pieces falling into, I mean, not the parts when you were in Atlanta, obviously, because I didn't know you then, that would have been creepy, but, but your whole Nashville story, like, I don't know. And I told you after I read it, you tell the truth better than just about anybody I know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, that's, how, I mean, you know, there's this fine line about tomorrow between like running up and down the streets and throwing copies at every car and staying under my covers.
Sure. There's a real fine line between celebration and like a Real Housewives marathon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ignoring the computer and keeping my phone in a Ziploc bag in the bottom of the sink.
Or just powering down altogether.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's probably better. You're right. I should probably just turn it off versus put it in water.
Well, yeah. I don't know, Annie. Just whatever you feel like. So I was trying to think this morning, I was thinking about your book and I was thinking about that whole idea of being brave. Here's the thing I want to make sure people know about your book, besides the fact that I loved it, is that, you have written mostly in the past for girls who are younger.
Right.
But this book, while very much for girls who are younger, is also for women and men, I would say, who are older even. It casts a much broader net than.
Right. Yeah. The hope was and is that this is the book for my friends.
Right.
You know, this is the book that my guy friends can read and put on their shelves. This is the book that any woman or man in my age bracket or older will enjoy as much as anyone else, you know? My first couple have been for teen girls, but Zondervan trusted me enough to say, okay, now write something for adults. And I was like, I've never been one. How do I do that?
But you
maybe that's
are.
Why last year was so hard, Sophie.
Maybe so.
Maybe I had some growing pains amidst the writing.
Maybe so. I don't know. I feel like over and over again, I hear people say stuff like, here's what I want to do, but I feel like I could never do that. Or here's what I think I'm supposed to be doing, but I feel like that, you know, that's impossible or whatever. And I love your book because it's a little nudge. It's just a little nudge.
Yeah, that's what I wanted it to be. Thank you. I'm glad you feel that way. That's what I wanted it to be is, you know, there is not a point in Let's All Be Brave where I am defining for you as the reader what brave looks like. Because I don't think that's what we need. We don't need someone to define for us what it looks like to be brave. We need someone to give us permission to do the thing we already feel is brave choice.
Right. And there's plenty of instruction. There are plenty of instructions out there,
yes.
I feel like.
Yes, there are instruction manuals to be sure. And I didn't want to write that. I wanted to write a story, and I wanted to write multiple stories of people that I knew who had been brave, that could be brave. And I wanted them to see that courage is for everybody and that courage looks different for everybody. I didn't want it to just look like the people who moved to Africa are brave, though they are.
Yes.
Or the people, you know, kind of growing up in church, it's either like you're a missionary or you're rich enough to pay for the missionaries.
Yes.
You know? And
that's
then
exactly
everyone
right.
else is something in the middle that's not as valuable. And I just don't think that's true. You know, I think about, there are people in Hollywood who are believers that are putting their necks out to do good art that's really brave to do,
yeah.
you know? And there are school teachers who are really brave, and there are moms who are really brave, and there are college guys who are making brave choices.
Yeah.
And I want all of them to feel celebrated and supported by this book.
I love that, Annie Downs.
Thank you. I mean it. You know, I mean it. I mean,
I know you do. Hey, I was trying to think if I had done anything brave lately, but I don't know really about the.
But I just can't be sure.
Well, I was just really digging. I was trying to dig deep, and about the only thing I could think of was, like, you know, I looked in TJ Maxx for a lamp. That was about yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lamp or a throw pillow. Either one, you are asking to go deep in the recesses.
I know. That's good. Listen, it was only the Lord that allowed me to come out of there with one. I don't know that I've been very brave lately, but I love what you're saying, and I'm so proud of you.
I don't think that's true, because I think we all can say I'm not very brave, or I haven't done anything remarkable lately. But the truth is, you're probably making a courageous choice every day, because for you particularly, you're working on a book, you're raising a kid, you're in a marriage, you have a dog. I mean, there are all these things. You know how I feel about
that. That's right, Annie. Sure, I have a dog. That's
for sure
right.
I'm brave.
That's
I don't
right.
think it, I think it's very brave to have an animal that costs you money, that gives you nothing but love, no conversation.
Listen, you've seen Hazel Lovin in person. You know. You know,
brave. But you. I want to speak that to you, but also to people in general, of this, like, no, you are making brave choices when you don't even realize it. When you're there are people who don't feel like they can leave the house today.
Yeah.
You know, but they're going to go out and go to Taco Bell and get a taco. And for them, that's really brave. But they would never label it as that. But I would say, you being brave enough to leave the house today when you haven't left in 4 days, when you don't feel pretty, when you've lost your job, that's a brave move. And you need to call that for yourself so that you recognize that we each are brave. Because when you'll be brave and I'll be brave, and then we start seeing it in each other, that's when change starts to really happen.
Do you know what, honest to goodness, popped in my mind when you were saying that just then?
What?
I was thinking, like that's like 3 days in a row of yoga pants, fourth day, something that buttons. Like,
yeah. Right? I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, like yesterday, it had been like 3 days in a row of yoga pants. Yesterday, I put on some jeans. So I was like, oh, see, yoga pants stretch. This is why we need to come back to the buttons, really.
Yeah, we need to be reminded. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. And I think there are big choices, big brave choices people make all the time. But maybe I just like celebration more than the average person. So I'm always like, look, you did it, Annie. You filled your tank up with gas again. Your car's going to keep going.
I know. That's awesome. I know. You changed your oil. You went in for your service and you put on some pants that buttoned, and
let's
have a party.
That's right.
Okay. So what are you doing tomorrow? Do you know? Do you have a plan?
What are we doing tomorrow? No, I don't really have a plan. I'm getting tonight, a couple of us, I've kind of have this new tradition that I started when my first book came out a couple of years ago, that some friends and I go to dinner and celebrate the night before the book comes out. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with how the book does. It's purely a celebration that the piece of art exists on the planet.
Oh, Annie, see, you're so smart that way.
Well, I just don't, you know, that's what I want to celebrate, is that my friends supported me while I worked hard on a product that now exists. And so we'll do that tonight. And then tomorrow will just be probably Real Housewives. New Jersey's back. So I'm just concerned about Teresa.
Listen,
Gia, I'm just concerned about Gia.
I haven't watched it yet, but I will tell you that last night about 11 o'clock, I got in the bed and I looked at my phone and I had a text from a friend of mine that just said, fair warning, I wept.
Yes.
During the Real Housewives. And I feel really bad, regardless of the choices that were made, that family is having to go through that. And
that's
so I deliberately haven't watched it because I couldn't get all worked up before I went
I'm
to sleep.
I'm telling you, I think it's Gia the oldest?
Yes.
But you know, I do love me teenage girls too. I just have a real tender spot for them. But man, watching her experience this with her parents is literally heartbreaking. So I'll probably watch the episode the six times they show it tomorrow on Bravo.
Hey, have you watched The Ladies of London?
No, I've heard. Well, listen, Sophie, you're going to appreciate this. I actually didn't have enough cable to watch Bravo recently, and then the World Cup. And so I purchased, I upgraded so I could have ESPN. and got my Bravo back. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I have a lot of catching up to do, but Don't Be Tardy starts up this week too, which is my second favorite after talk about being brave. Don't Be Tardy.
Don't Be Tardy, Annie.
Kim Zolciak is brave. She's got six children.
Listen, that I've only seen the previews. How did we go from your beautiful book to The Real Housewives?
Because that is my real life.
I know that is real life. But I've seen the previews, and that most recent baby before she had the twins, I mean, he's about the prettiest thing I've ever seen.
They are adorable. And, you know, I've always had a secret dream in my heart to marry an Atlanta Falcon. So I watch her life. Mm-hmm. And to see what it's like to be married to a Falcon.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Annie, I think your life might look a little different in that case.
Yeah, sure, probably. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I probably have aged out of marrying a Falcon at this point. They're all about 24. I'm not closing a door here.
No, Sophie. Don't close the door, Annie. You never know what the Lord might want to do. I mean,
That's right. That's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
Okay. Well, I'm so happy that I'm so sad that we were unable to technically make this work with Melanie, but I'm so happy that you were able to jump
on
here this morning.
To be on the podcast. Do you remember years ago, one of y'all's first podcasts, when I emailed you because I got a speeding ticket while I was listening? Do you remember this? I got two tickets while I was listening to the podcast, and I named one of them Sophie and one of them Melanie.
How fast were you going, Annie?
Well, I wasn't going that fast, but my tag had also expired.
Oh, well, sure.
So I got one for speeding and one for an expired tag. Meanwhile, I was dying laughing at the podcast. So it feels like a full circle moment.
Sure it is. Hey, it's redemptive. What?
It's redemptive.
What? Were you in Atlanta or were you in
Nashville? Yeah, I was still in Marietta. No, I was still in Marietta. I mean, this was like maybe 2000. How long have y'all been doing this? This was probably 2006 or 2007.
Okay. I think since 2007.
Yeah. I mean, it was before we had even met at She Speaks.
Okay.
But I was like, well, I blame these two bloggers that I listened to.
Before you even introduced me to Dave Barnes.
That's right. Oh, Dave Barnes. Hilarious, man.
Okay. Well, I'm glad then you're here and there are no tickets. Nope. You do not have to pay any fines. You just have to endure some really annoying technical difficulties.
Well, the cost was much lower than my double speeding ticket.
Good for you, Annie Dance. Hey, listen, I love you, and I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait for the book tomorrow.
I appreciate it. I'm grateful for y'all.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
I was thinking, you know what? I was thinking I was going to, this is my early morning brain, because I thought I'm going to make a little joke about Annie's book, because she had to call it Let's All Be Brave instead of Let Us Be Brave, because then people might think it's about vegetables. Let Us Be Brave. You could have a diet book called Let Us Be Brave.
You could. A call to a vegetarian lifestyle.
That's it. Let Us Be Brave.
I think that's good. I hate that she can't hear that. I should have recorded Annie going, oh, Melanie, you are hysterical.
That is so funny. You are so funny at 9:32 a.m. in the morning.
I kind of wanted this morning, this is when I was, you know, before I got sidetracked and derailed by the fact that we couldn't record everybody at one time, yes. Which, should I go to a class or something? I mean, you'd think after 7 years, we'd have a few of these things ironed out. But,
We don't have a lot of guests. Back when we used to have Travis on, we were doing it through like the iChat or something.
Yeah, it was a whole different deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to tell you beforehand that we needed to use our soft voices. Which, by the way, you know, I was with Emma Kate this past week when I went to Mississippi, and we were in the car. And sometimes when Emma Kate is telling you something real serious, she gets kind of soft and she talks a little bit down here. And finally, we were on the way back to Tupelo after we left the thing we went to. And she was telling me something like real serious. And I finally went, I can't hear you. You're going to have to speak up because I can't hear what you're saying.
It's like that. Remember in St. Elmo's Fire, I always remember that mom that would whisper anytime she had to say something bad, that she'd be like, and then he was there and he's in prison. Yeah. Like it was that.
Yes. My mama and Martha both do that, by the way.
God, that makes me laugh. Like they might hear you. They might hear you talking about them around the dinner table. And if you whisper in prison, maybe they won't remember that they were in prison.
I know. Well, I just, Emma Kate was she's really intense about what she was doing. I mean, I was struggling. I turned down the volume on the radio. Like I turned down the air. I was trying so hard. But she's used to, with three kids, she has to tell things sometimes so that everybody can't hear.
Gully and I were having this discussion this week about how used to, when the kids were little, we could have, like, in the car, it could be time to catch up on a phone conversation. But now you can't really do that because you can't talk about anything in front of your kids unless you want to know that they are going to repeat every word of it back to you at some point or ask you all the details. So unless you're willing to come up with some elaborate thing where you make up fake names and fake scenarios.
Yes.
So that they don't know what you're talking about. You can't really have a real conversation.
No, I was trying to talk to my sister on the phone the other day about something. And I told Alex to go walk Hazel, like, so he would be gone for the conversation. Cause it was just a conversation he did not need to hear.
Yes.
He comes back in and I mean, he plants himself. He sits right here on this couch in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few minutes, I looked at my sister. I mean, I didn't look at her, but I said to my sister, he just walked in here and he's nodding. And
yeah.
I said, Alex has sat down because he is trying to figure out what we're talking about. And he said, yes, ma'am. He said, I missed the first part, but I'm going to sit here and figure out the second.
Well, at least he's up front about his motives.
I know.
Oh, but it makes me think about when I was in high school and at church on Sunday mornings because I was so spiritual.
Right, sure.
My youth group friends and I would pass notes back and forth, but we developed a whole elaborate system where everyone was assigned a country that represented a different person. So, like, if they were to pick up our bulletin after church, they would see that we were worried about Uganda finding peace in Switzerland.
Sure, yes.
And whether or not Austria was going to come to camp and be with Germany.
Yes.
And maybe did we think that Africa and Argentina might end up together? Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like we were having a political discussion. But but you think that took a lot of effort to come up with that.
I know. We had a system, too, in high school. We had a little system with different where I can't remember exactly what we did, but everybody had a code essentially. And so it was all very mysterious if anybody had picked up a note.
Which, you know, I guess is smart. I mean, anyway.
Well, and I've kind of come to the thing where I just figure, unless it's like an adult situation that we're talking about, I just say it, you know, I just figure.
Yes.
Not a lot of hope, but a lot of big mysteries in this house anyway. So we'll just talk about it after if we need to.
Yeah, that's it. And usually it's more of a matter of being able to talk. We're still working on interrupting. So like I can be in the middle of something and then Caroline is standing there. And it turns out that she, I don't know, needs to know if the puppy's water needs to be refilled or, you know, something urgent.
Something very important. Yes.
So we're working on that. She's still asleep right now.
She is.
Yes. I had told her, you know, she's going to camp on Wednesday. And so I told her that we were really going to be on a schedule this week to get her used to the camp routine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. It's 9:37 and she's still asleep. I'll go wake her up after this is over if she doesn't wake up in the meantime.
So how will she wake herself up at camp? Will she have to set her phone, like set an alarm?
Yeah, they said to bring an alarm clock. And then I think somebody comes and like wakes them up. And then she'll have, I mean, she shares like it's like a suite. So she'll be in there with some friends. And so I guess they just all wake each other up. I don't know.
Okay.
So, I mean, she's going to be like a real live kind of grown up this week.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. I had a list of stuff that I wanted to ask you about and it's over on the table, like where I can't get to it.
Yeah. You're just going to remember it.
Well, I'm going to try.
Or you could walk over to the table.
I've got this elaborate setup because I sat down on the couch so Hazel could sit by me if she wanted to. So I've got computer on top of a pillow and the mic. Like if I get up, the whole assembly is crashing down. All right, so Alex brought me my list, so I'm good.
I'm so nice.
Yeah, you're so nice.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
It's the house of cards you got going on over there.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so here was one of my, this was one of the things that I put down on the, on the list. Okay, so I saw your post this morning about beach or lake.
Yes.
I'm so beach.
Oh, I knew you would be. Mm-hmm. I knew without a doubt. I didn't have to even question.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's kind of our dream. I mean, besides impacting the world for Christ, of course.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Sure, yeah. Because I always feel like, I always feel shallow when I say that, but that really is. Like, to have a place at the beach it really is. I don't have a lot of dreams, but I would classify that as one.
Yes, I think beach for me, I've gone back and forth. I would not want a beach house necessarily, because I feel like, you know, you hear about everybody, like our friends down there, it's the salt water is so corrosive,
right,
that then you have to replace like your air conditioning every 5 years. And then you have to worry about everything rusting, and you've got it. It just seems like a lot of the paint peels off. So it's like, it's an expensive proposition to maintain a beach house. Mm-hmm. So not
I
only
just
do
want
you have
a condo.
To buy it,
I don't want a house. I just want a condo.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If I could have a condo somewhere, I think that would be a different deal. And then I probably would choose the beach, because as a family, you know, we always go spend a week in the summer at the beach. Whereas, and Perry, no question, would want a beach house.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lake house for me has like fond memories, because my grandparents had a lake house when I was growing up, and we loved going to the lake house, you know, like floating out on the dock and the whole thing. And like in the fall, I always liked, like we'd spend Thanksgiving at the lake house, and I always liked that too. Like the, but anyway, I was torn.
No, I mean, I had like, you know, Chuck and Joe had a lake house when I was growing up. And so we went out there a ton, and she's actually in transition with that right now. And Paige and I were talking the other day. It's like, it's kind of sad. It's like the end of an era almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, but here's the thing. Like, I don't ever want to touch the bottom of a lake. You know what I mean?
Oh, mm-hmm, for sure.
So
yeah,
the lake house for me is more about the furniture and the sort of the cooking out and the sunsets and that kind of stuff. But I don't necessarily care anything about getting in that water as an adult.
Yes. And I do have to agree with that. Cause I was, even as a kid, I was always a little like that first, like jump in, you'd be like, yeah, you know, like you just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And this, when I was there on Friday, which it was a lovely lake, it's a big, it's Lake LBJ, which is a huge lake north of us. And it's a lovely house and the whole thing. But then we were all out on the dock. And so it was kind of that you could climb down a ladder, and it just had a rocky bottom. So I actually stood for probably one of the first times in my life on the bottom of the lake, because it was real shallow. Like it only came up to about my waist, mm-hmm, and you would be standing on the rocky bottom. But then I kept noticing all these turtles kept popping up.
See?
And that made me real nervous, because I thought, a turtle doesn't know not to swim right up to this ladder. Mm-hmm. And like, what? I don't want to be in the vicinity of a turtle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't want fish brushing against my mm-hmm legs. I know that can happen in the ocean too, and also sharks.
Yes,
but
yes, jellyfish.
You know, a ton of people here have. I mean, like we're surrounded by lakes, and so mm-hmm a ton of people here have lake houses. And a lot of Alex's friends' parents have lake houses, and you know they go down there on the weekends. And I think that's awesome to have like a getaway. But I also yes thought with the lake, you got to have the boat, you got to have the Sea-Doo, you got to have the.
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of and like Chuck and Joe had a ski boat, and then they had a pontoon.
Yeah.
And so like there's a lot of maintenance. I mean, you really I think have to be passionate about lake living for it to be enjoyable. Whereas the beach, I feel like you can get a condo, and yeah, you have, you know, stuff that comes up.
But, yes.
But you just go out to the beach.
You can just enjoy the beach. That's mm-hmm okay. All right. I think maybe you've swayed me. I think you're okay. Right. Now I'm sitting here thinking about it, because you are right. I think that because I had just been at the lake, and like we did take a little like evening cruise in the boat, and you know, just looked at all the houses mm-hmm and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it was, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. Beach. My people were for sure. No question. I mean, Caroline and Perry, if we were to say, hey, we have all this extra money sitting around, let's do something with it.
Sure.
It would be a beach house.
I'm also thinking, like, I think if your husband is passionate about boating, then that would make the lake house fun. With David not being passionate about boating, I just sort of have visions of me out in the middle of a lake, like, you know, with a flooded boat, trying to figure out how to get it back in. I don't
yes
know.
Yes.
Having
yes
to call him on the phone. You know, it just might not be.
Yeah.
Might not and be my favorite.
And we did have that problem, because my friend who was driving the boat, when it came time to bring it back home that evening and she had to like dock it, I think we had to make about 10 circles to like come around and try to hit it at the right angle,
because yes
it was windy, and like we couldn't get it back in the little boat dock part. And there were all these like young guys at the next house over who were watching us very mm-hmm intently.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, which we said that's the beauty of being a 40 something year old woman. Had we been like in our 20s, we'd have been mortified. But really, we didn't care what they thought about us. We were on our cruise and we were having a hard time getting our boat in, and we're 40 and we'll own that. It's
yeah
fine.
And why didn't they get their tails over there and help y'all? That's what I want.
Well, because they were too busy drinking their mm-hmm whatever they had and hanging out. So
okay, so we've decided beach house
okay
with the imaginary money
Yes, that is going to show up. So we've solved that problem.
Okay,
next.
Well, I'm so glad.
Next.
Okay, so this was the other thing I was thinking about.
What?
All right. So, because I've really given this some thought lately. All right, so I haven't been cooking a whole lot for a lot of reasons. But I did say, I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but Friday night, I did a good job. Like,
okay,
I
good for you.
I know. I did a roast. I did carrots and potatoes. I made a squash casserole.
Wow.
I cooked baby lima beans. I roasted Brussels sprouts. Like, I wanted vegetables. I mean, like,
yes.
I can't even explain. And it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially because we hadn't had anything like that in a long time. We ate that food all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably 2 or 3 years ago, I was on a kick with black beans, sweet potatoes, and avocados. Those were like my three superfoods.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided this morning that it's changed.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to ask you if you had any superfoods. Like, is there anything that you cannot get enough of right now, like that you crave all the time?
You know what it is for me, and I put it on my blog last week, is that peach and tomato salad.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm loving that right now. Like, I made it last week, and then my friend Amy made it while we were at the lake because she had seen the recipe, and then I made it again last night. Perry grilled fish last night, which was delicious, by the way, and we had that. But I can't get enough of that right now because one of Perry's customers, Perry, elderly couple that he did landscaping for several years ago, and he still goes over there from time to time because now they'll call him just to change a light bulb or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he'll go do that, which is very sweet, and he doesn't let them pay him anything, but they send us we always get some sort of fruit basket from them. They send us, and so this week they just sent us these Georgia peaches, which may be the best thing I've ever had in my life. I mean, they are they're like perfect, like they're just the right amount of ripeness or whatever. So I have been eating those by themselves, and then I've been doing my peach and tomato salad, and it's my favorite thing ever.
Okay, tell me roughly what the recipe is for the peach and tomato salad. This sounds like something I would get addicted to and David would hate.
Yes, Perry actually likes it. Caroline loves it.
Okay.
It's okay. So you do a balsamic reduction. So you do a third cup of balsamic vinegar and you just cook it down for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. I burned some a couple of weeks ago, by the way, trying to do that for Brussels sprouts and couldn't get the smell in my house for about 4 days.
I was going to say it's a strong smell.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that and then you just cut up peaches and you cut up tomatoes and then you can do the original recipe called for burrata cheese, which is like a mozzarella. I can't find burrata at my normal HEB. I'm sure they have it at Central Market, but that's a lot of effort. So I just do mozzarella and then you just cut it up and then basil and then fresh basil and you chop it and just mix it all together and then you drizzle that balsamic reduction and then you refrigerate it for like 15 minutes. And it's so, I can't even tell you how good it is. It's so fresh and good and delightful.
Are you using like heirloom tomatoes or regular tomatoes or what are you using there?
Well, I've done both. I bought some heirloom tomatoes at the grocery store one time, but then our neighbors have a garden and they just had little cherry tomatoes. And so yesterday I just they brought us over probably like 50 of those. And so I just cut those up since they were fresh. Cause you know, I think a fresh garden tomato can beat any sort of store-bought tomato any day of the week.
Me too. Yeah.
So I cut those up and put those in it. But really, it would be good with any tomato. But it's amazing to me how the peach and the tomato like blend together so seamlessly.
Mm-hmm. That's nature.
Yes, it is. And I even thought you could probably even add maybe some blueberries in there. And that might be good, too.
And I bet goat cheese would be good, too, in addition to the mozzarella or the burrata cheese.
Yes, yes. I think it would be, too. And now I made a cheese ball to take to the lake that was delicious. I'd never made a cheese ball before, and it was really good.
What'd you do?
Well, it was just cream cheese and a little bit of sour cream and then some cheddar cheese and some Parmesan cheese, and then you did a little bit of cayenne and some – it didn't have Worcestershire. Oh, and then cranberries and then dried cranberries.
Oh, I don't have problems with any of that.
And it was delicious. I mean, like just like spread on a cracker. Like we ate that up. It was – very good.
I ate cheese and crackers for supper last night.
I love, you know, it's hard to beat cheese and crackers.
It really is. Okay. So I hadn't even talked about my superfoods.
Yes. What is your superfood?
Okay. So one is watermelon. I cannot, there's not enough watermelon for me. Like and you know, last summer I got on that watermelon and feta salad with the balsamic reduction on it. And, and so that's why I burned the balsamic a couple of weeks ago. I was making that, a fried egg for some reason right now is so good to me.
Oh, interesting. Okay. A fried egg.
And I've always liked fried eggs, but like right now they're one of my favorite things in life, a fried egg. I don't know why.
Okay.
And then
do you put, do you just salt and pepper it? What do you do?
Yeah,
with the
fried salt and pepper it, and I like it a little runny, not too runny, but just a little runny. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but I adore them right now. And then, and Brussels sprouts.
Mm, okay. All right. I think I was on a Brussels sprout kick. I think I'm off them now.
Okay. Well, you know,
here's
it was
the
time.
Thing with Brussels sprouts. They still make your house stink at the storm when you cook them.
I know they do. They do. But when they char a little bit and I just love them. And I think it was, you know, I've been on asparagus for a long time and it was time for me to transition into something new. So
yeah,
it's the Brussels sprout. David does not like them at all. Alex and I both really like them, but he does not care for them.
Okay. Yeah. Perry likes them. Okay. Caroline doesn't like them at all.
But Alex and I will, and I finally have gotten, you know, we've tried for a few years when I make squash, Alex will always try it, but he hadn't really loved it. But something has switched this summer where like he loves squash. And so, so I feel like we're in a good place with our vegetables because squash is another one of those things that I can't really get enough of right now.
Yeah, now I do love squash. My meemaw used to make the best squash. She always had it. It was just real buttery when she'd make it, and like with some pepper. And oh man, yeah, I haven't had. See, now I'm gonna have to make some squash. Yeah. I love squash.
There's not much better than just. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there you have it. So I'm gonna have some watermelon when we finish doing this. In fact.
Okay. Well, I may have one of my peaches. So we have not really like we've cooked. I feel like Perry. He really, I'm going to be honest, I think he's gotten the raw end of this deal because he's working really hard right now. And he also has done a lot of the cooking. But I think he's gone fishing a couple of times. And so when he has, the fish is his category.
Yes.
So like he's fried it. Like I think one night last week we had fried fish. And then last night he did grilled fish and it was so good. And then and then Tuesday night he was like, I'll cook burgers on Tuesday night. So because it's the grilling, you know, and I'm not going to grill.
I like to grill. I have discovered. Wait, it's my email on. I'm so sorry. Let me turn myself.
I didn't even hear it.
It just dinged.
Oh, well, you can't hear it on this end.
Okay. I thought last week I may go get me one of those big green eggs.
Well, I hear people love them.
I do too. And I like to grill. Like, you know, I just like to cook. And I always let David grill. But now it's kind of gotten to where I like to kind of get supper ready and not be cooking when he gets home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because, you know, we have a little routine where we kind of sit down when he gets home for a little bit before supper. And so I like for supper to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grilling ends up being like where he comes in the door and then I sort of hand him like a big tray of meat and say, all right, go outside.
Yes. Yes.
So I don't know. Last year I just started grilling and discovered that I really liked it. And so I don't know. I've kind of thought about maybe that may be something that I look into doing.
Okay. But y'all have a gas grill, right?
Yeah. So we don't do charcoal. And because I don't know that we used to. And then we did the gas grill. And that's just easier for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my whole thing is we have charcoal. And so the whole thing, you know, and one time Perry told me he was coming home from somewhere and he was like, will you go ahead and start the fire? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I built the whole fire on top of the grate.
Yes.
Like, I piled up all the charcoal. And so we came home and there was a raging fire on top of the grate.
Yes.
And so that's my grill skills are limited is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only reason I can do it is mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm pretty much just like hitting a switch and then flipping some burners on. So maybe I just need to get me a nicer gas grill. I don't know.
I hear people love the big green egg. I don't really know enough about them, but
I've heard that like people love to cook pizzas on them. And then I've heard like turkey's really good cooked on them. I don't know.
Maybe you could get it and take it to your beach house.
I could. Maybe I could take it to my pretend beach house.
Yes, I think that sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. I can promise you when we get to the beach this year, it will start something in us, and we will get online, and we will start to look at condos. And, yes. And then that will last for about 5 to 8 minutes, and then we will close the computer.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun to kind of think about it sometimes.
Well, it is. Hey, you know, SEC Media Days, or maybe, I think you probably know that SEC Media Days for football started here today in Birmingham.
I did know that, just because I've already checked my Good Bull Hunting blog this morning.
Well, I almost, this past weekend, I almost texted my friend who works for the SEC to see if I could take Alex the day that Dan Mullen is there.
Yes.
But I just, ultimately, I decided that it would be a lot of effort to get over there for Alex just to pretty much see Dak Prescott from across the room. You know what I mean? Because you can't really get to people. And so it's not like, you know, you can sit down and say, so Coach Mullen, how are things? How's the family?
Yes, I know. But I do think it would be really fun to go to sometime.
Well, I texted Daphne earlier. It was probably at some point in the weekend. And I said, I cannot remember a time when expectations for the Bulldogs have been higher. And this frightens me to my very core.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we don't need expectations. We need to be underdogs. We need to be underestimated. We need to be like the low guy on the totem pole who can maybe surprise some people.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think it's hard. That was like us last year. I mean, expectations were super high, and then we really did not meet our expectations last year.
But then look at Auburn, you know? Look at Auburn
last
year.
Well, that's true.
You know? No expectations.
Nope. Mm-mm. Just goes to show. Everybody thought Auburn was going to be nothing, and there you have it. So, you never know. You never can tell. I mean, I'm real worried, you know, about A&M. I'm not worried about our offense. I'm real worried about our defense. But mm-hmm. And we're going to find out quick because we play South Carolina right out of the gate. Which,
oh, wow.
I know. I hate to have my season. I mean, if we win, that's great. But it's nice to open with like a Louisiana Tech or something where you just – you know, it's nice to kind of, so because then the dream can live for at least a couple of weeks, like, oh, this could be our season. But I mean, if Spurrier beats us right off the bat, then you're kind of like, well, okay, that was good. That was nice while it lasted.
That's going to be a lot of swagger on one field between Steve Spurrier and Kevin Sumlin.
Don't you think so?
That's going to be a lot of visor action on one field.
Uh-huh. A lot of gum chewing.
A lot of gum chewing. Yeah. A lot of headset frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see. So anyway, so that's that. But I'm excited about it. I always get excited this time of year because that's the upside of summer ending is that college football season is nigh.
I know. I'm so excited. But, you know, Alex starts football practice in like 3 weeks. And
God.
I know. And I told him today, I was like, do you feel like you are mentally prepared for how hot it's going to be? I mean,
I know. I mean, did we quit recording by any chance?
No, why?
Okay, I don't know. I heard a bonk, bonk, and I thought maybe that meant something.
I don't know. It looks like it's still recording.
Okay, all right. Sorry. It's going to be, well, Caroline had soccer camp or like soccer like practice last week from 5:30 to 8 at night. And I mean, you should have seen, I was packing that child off like she was, I mean, we took a cooler with an ice pack with one of the frog togs with a Mr. bottle full of like frozen water and then her thing full of frozen water. I mean, it's so hot.
Yeah, I know. It's awful.
I mean, ugh. So, but I just think they're kids. They're more resilient than we are.
I know. You're exactly right. They are. But I left. I was writing at Panera day before yesterday, and I had to leave because it got so hot. They have the air on, but it was like, you know, there's tons of windows in the front of that place, mm-hmm. and the sun was coming across the parking lot, and like I was burning up. Mm-hmm. And then I got in my 106 degree car, mm-hmm. and you know, I just like this is the time when the bloom is off the rose of summer for me.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree. It just gets hot, and I think it gets depressing because this is when I go, God, it's so hot, and we still have all of August and really all of September before it cools down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like we have a long way to go. We have miles to go before we sleep.
I know, and I feel like this summer has been I don't know. It's been way too fast, and we're going to be back at school way too soon.
Yes, I agree. But it feels like that every year. Like I'm like, which I kind of keep reminding, you know, we didn't get out till June 6th. And so we still have, we don't go back till August 26th, I think. So we still have a lot of summer left. But I just know we've got, we have a lot of things on the back end of our summer gully. And I still have the road trip with the kids coming up. I mean, so all that will make it go by fast.
Okay. So where are y'all going this year? Do y'all know?
Yes, we're going to go to Houston.
Okay.
Is our first destination, but we are going to stop on the way to Houston at the ZDT Amusement Park in Seguin, Texas. It's okay. A family-owned amusement park.
Okay. All right. Sure.
So we don't know anything about it. It looks fun online. So we're gonna do that. I think we may go to Galveston one day once we get to Houston and spend a day at the beach. And then we aren't really sure because the road trip, we may have to cut it short because Jackson may have some baseball stuff he has to come back and do. Mm-hmm. And then we get into having to board the puppies and how many nights we want to do that because yes. Then Perry's leaving. And so it's, you know, it's all more complicated than it used to be.
I know. That's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So we haven't totally figured out the tail end, but for sure we'll head to Houston as part of it. And then there's like supposedly some new drive-in movie theater in Houston. So we thought like take the kids to like the drive-in movies might be fun.
Oh, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to leave your air on during a drive-in movie?
Well, I think that kind of is what we're trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. That's what we're researching. I don't want to go sit out and sweat and watch, you know, Transformers or whatever it is we'd go see. So we've got to figure that out.
Yeah, that's always like the drive-in movie always sounds fun to me. But mm-hmm. Hey, hold on one second. I'm trying to see what Hazel's doing. Okay. All right. Sorry. This is what my life has become.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I understand.
Okay, that's what you're hearing.
The puppies.
I'm trying to rest my microphone on the computer, but you know it has a stand because it's fancy, and so I think it was sitting on a key.
Gosh.
Okay, so tell me about the puppies. What's going on with them?
They really have kind of settled in, I feel like. I mean, they've been pretty good the last couple of days. Now, Mabel, we had a little incident last week where I went to leave to take Caroline to soccer practice, and Mabel just went bolting out of our back gate and flying down the street.
Oh, my.
And so we had to run after her screaming. But I did tell Caroline I was pretty impressed because she almost caught her. And Mabel is super fast. Uh-huh. So I said that was almost like her conditioning for soccer that night. Because mm-hmm. She almost caught Mabel. But other than that, they've been pretty, I mean, I feel like they've been pretty low maintenance. They've starting to kind of figure things out. Like they don't bark as much in the backyard as they used to. Like I feel like they're settling in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
What about Hazel?
Well, we've decided that when we boarded her, when we went to California,
mm-hmm.
that it left her with some post-traumatic stress. Like,
and
I don't know if it was because, you know, we got her back. She had like a bladder infection. Then she had a terrible cold.
God.
But more than anything, like she is just on guard all the time. And she is so fine if she's with the three of us, mm-hmm. but it's like, we're the only people she wants to be with. Like she, you know, she's sweet when she gets used to somebody else being here, but like just everything is an imminent threat. And
yes. So
anyway, so we're trying to, you know, to help her a little bit, but she adores us, but, mm-hmm. but she is iffy on the rest of the population.
Yes. Yes. Ours are like that. I mean, they're real now. Piper, not so much, but like Mabel, she isn't interested in making any new friends.
Yeah.
Like she is not really, she's going to be leery. I mean, even my parents who come by here all the time, like she kind of always looks at them. She gives them the side eye, mm-hmm. you know, like she's not real sure why they're here or what they're doing. And she's probably glad when they leave, you know, like, so I think that's some dogs I think are just more possessive of their people.
Yeah. She's not mean, but she just mm-hmm. like she wants to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all she needs. So
yeah. Yeah. She's just a little possessive.
I know she is. Yeah. But anyway, but she's sweet. And I, you know, and like, I was writing at Starbucks yesterday afternoon and, a girl came up with her dog and they were sitting outside and it made me miss her and I wanted to come home. You know, like
oh,
I just,
yes.
So,
yes, I know. I miss them. That's it. Those fools. It's like, I'll be, you know, I'm kind of like, God, it's kind of nice. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder how the puppies are. Because I thought that when I was at the lake. I was like, well, now I miss my family and I miss the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I know. I know. So, what's going on? It seems like I had something, but now I can't.
I got nothing. I just, I just sit in front of a computer most days and try to come up with words. That's my whole life right now.
Well, I know, but you're at the tail end. You're so close.
I know. I am getting close. I just feel like, it's like I told you last night, I feel like the closer I get to the end, the more I remember I haven't done. You know what I mean? Like, I,
yes,
but I am, I'm close. I'm close. And I hope by the end of this week that I am a whole lot closer, if not wrapping her up. So
yes, yes, I know. You're so close. In the meantime, I've been just reading books. I've just been reading. Not so much the writing, but real busy with all the reading of the books.
I haven't read anything since I read the Mindy Kaling book, which I loved.
Yes. And then hilarious.
And then I downloaded, several people have recommended that book called Quiet to me, about the power of introverts or something.
Yes, yes.
So I downloaded that the other day because it was like $2.99 on Kindle, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Well, maybe when you have some power, some downtime, you can read that.
Maybe when I'm able to, yes, when I'm able to be fully introverted, I will be able to. I think I told you this. I don't know where I read this. Somebody linked to it on Facebook or something, but it was an article about how when you're a little introverted and when you do something that's kind of creative, mm-hmm. about how, and I think you're the same way. It was all about how if you're introverted and you do something creative, like even something like a phone call can completely mm-hmm. derail your day.
Like, yes.
About yes. how, like, if you've got a day where you think, like, I'm going to write, but you have a phone call scheduled for, say, 10, mm-hmm. then that's it. You're done. And I thought, that is totally me. Like,
yes,
that is yes. totally me.
That was the Nestor, didn't it? Wasn't that her post?
Oh, yeah, it was the Nestor. Mm-hmm. It was that article that she linked to. Because mm-hmm. I thought, that's it. Like, I feel crazy when I'm like that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, I knew we were going to podcast today. And then I thought this morning, I thought, well, we might as well run errands. Because, like, yeah. if I'm going to do that one thing, I might as well knock out several.
Because mm-hmm, I'm not going to get anything else done.
I'm not going to get anything else done. As mm-hmm. opposed to, like, you know, 4th of July, right, in that week when I went mm-hmm. to the hotel for a couple of days.
Yes.
And had no distractions and was just unbelievably productive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's blocks of time. I think mm-hmm. that's the whole thing, is it's blocks of time. I can't just say, oh, I've got a free hour to do something. And I can't, and I had thought all summer that I would try to get stuff done. Like in the mornings, like Caroline and I usually, like, we're just kind of getting up, like we're pretty slow to start our day in mm-hmm. the summer. So I thought, well, I'll just go in my room and write until like noon every day. And that'll be a couple of hours. No, that hadn't happened. That doesn't happen because number one, I can't be at my house. And number two, I need total like quiet and feel like there's absolutely no distractions.
I know, but I feel so high maintenance that I'm like that. Mm-hmm. And I do know people who will say, like, I'm going to write for 2 hours this morning. And then they can write for 2 hours and put it aside. I cannot. It takes me a good hour or an hour and a half just to get in. I'm sure people are so interested in this, by the way. This must be riveting.
And it's fascinating.
But it does. It takes me an hour and a half, like, to even get into it. Like, to mm-hmm. even sort of start the process. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm saying, because I have to check, make sure I've seen everything on Twitter. I need to make sure that I've checked Facebook. Mm-hmm. I need to read a blog post. I need to, you know, look up something because I'm making some obscure. I've got some song lyrics in my head.
That's
and I
exactly
need to know
right.
what song that's from. Yeah, I totally get it. So if I spent nearly as much time writing as I did procrastinating about writing, I would have written several novels by now.
That's exactly right. Me too.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you what I have come to in the last, because I think I have been reading so much this summer, mm-hmm. which to me, once you write a book, I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for other authors mm-hmm. because you know what goes into that. Like, it's not just slapping some words on a page, you know? The fiction thing just floors me. I have read some really good fiction books this summer, and I feel like it's given me a whole new, like, how do you come up with that whole story in your head?
Yes.
Like, that's not true. It's fascinating to me.
I know. Well, you know, my friend Anne and I have had this conversation a good bit because she writes fiction. And mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't know how. You got to make up the people, and, like, you got to figure out yeah. who they are and what they like and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just kind of blows my mind. It's crazy.
I think it's fascinating. Yeah, to come up with a whole story and then to keep it straight. And then when they bring home all these details in the end where you're like, well, how did you know to do that? Like, to bring that around to all those people and that it was going to be, that was going to be the way it all ended. And I don't know. It's just, I've developed a new appreciation for it. I don't think I could ever do it.
You would have to have a really... I would imagine a really kind of detailed map, not just like a chapter outline, like what we do, but like mm-hmm. a pretty good map for, mm-hmm. for where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have to, because you can't, it's not like you can say, well, this is what really, because with ours, I feel like you always come back to, like, I may exaggerate or something may not be exactly, you know, because you're just doing the, what you can remember from however right. long ago.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it's that whole thing of that you, but you're like, well, it's my story. So it ultimately is going to always come back to, well, this is what happened because I was there. So this is what happened.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So anyway, which is how I said I wanted to end a chapter last week. I wished I could just wrap it up by saying, and so that's what happened.
I know. And there you have
it. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there, I feel like ending something like that is the hardest. Last summer, I read Beautiful Ruins, which I did not care for at all. But I did have to appreciate it. I'm like, this, there was a lot of research that went into this book.
Right.
You know? So, you know, we've got to give them that. I just did not care for the book itself.
What's that book about? I don't even know what that is.
It was a fiction book. It was on New York Times like this time last summer. And it's about, it all takes place in like a little place in Italy where, and it takes place during the filming of Cleopatra. And so it inserts okay. like Richard Burton. Yeah. You're like, I'm done. Check, yeah. please.
All right. Check. Thank you.
That, but everybody here, was raving about me. It.
They were in Europe. There was no air conditioning. It was hot. And there were lots of heavy costumes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, probably, but it's not really about the filming. It's about an actress who was on the set, and then she was supposedly, it's all fiction, but it's based on like what could be, I guess, a real scenario. I just did not care for it at all.
Okay,
the story kind of dry. I didn't care for it. So, but obviously a lot of other people liked it. So what do I know?
Well, the heart wants what it wants. I mean, your heart did not want Glorious exactly. Ruins.
No, it didn't. Beautiful Ruins or Beautiful Ruins.
Glorious. Beautiful.
Yeah. Glorious and beautiful.
Yes.
It didn't want either of them.
It didn't want either of
them.
It
didn't want any ruins.
Okay,
didn't want any ruins.
This morning I got sidetracked and somehow ended up watching a short video about Jessica Simpson's wedding.
Yes, and?
Her dress was really pretty, but here was my big takeaway. It showed some footage of her, I guess it was her reception. Mm-hmm. My goodness, people go all out these days.
I mean, I agree.
My word. It was gorgeous. It looked like mm-hmm. it looked like she had been dropped in the land of hydrangeas. I mean, it was just it was unbelievably beautiful. It looked to me, it was very elaborate. It was very very lavish.
Yes, yes. Well, and you Yeah, but I think her first wedding was also very lavish.
Probably so. I don't remember that one because I guess I didn't know who they were at the time, or I don't mm-hmm. know. Maybe I didn't see anything. But I mean,
didn't they do flashback? I feel like I saw flashbacks on Newlyweds.
I remember seeing flashbacks of the sanctuary during mm-hmm. Newlyweds. I do. Mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. I don't know. I just I was a little
yeah.
I was a little taken aback.
Well, Pinterest has really upped the wedding ante.
I agree.
It's as it has with everything. It's upped a lot of ante. And I laughed because Gully said this yesterday. I have to give Gully credit for this because this is her words, not mine. But we were laughing because she was saying her sister has younger kids. And she was saying that it's that whole thing of that Pinterest has turned things into occasions and holidays that were never meant to be. Like the first time you jump in your pool for the summer that you have to pose with a flamingo and have a sign that says first pool day of summer. And that's not a real thing.
Right. No, it's not a real thing. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. But it turns a lot of things into occasions that feel like they need to be marked that never were intended to be marked.
I wonder if we are not creating a world where our children are the stars of their very own movies.
Yes, yes. I agree. It's a lot of having to document. And I wonder if, are we missing the joy of the real moment because we're so busy capturing it on Instagram
Yes. I mean, and that's sort of like the blogging. I mean, that's the blogging pitfall right there is that, I mean, I have to mm-hmm. sometimes, am I so busy figuring out how to write about something that I'm not in it? Because my personality is much more to stand back and observe and think and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. But I don't know,
I think it's a personality type. For some people, that comes more naturally. Those, to me, are the same people that would have scrapbooked back in ye olden days.
That's true.
You know?
That's a good point.
But I was never a scrapbooker, and I always felt real bad that, like,
I couldn't scrapbook, and I didn't like scrapbooking, and Caroline wasn't going to have a scrapbook and all that. But you know what? She can go on, you know, look at all the photos on Shutterfly of her childhood. They're
well,
all
Alex
right there.
Alex has started reading my blog.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, he has. And he has, I've not even told you this. He has started a blog. He told me a couple of weeks ago that he wanted to start a blog.
Oh, how funny.
And
okay.
So it's private and it's, you know, it's locked down. But he does. He has a little blog where he has written some things. And but he started to he'll get the iPad and he'll go and look back at old posts and read them.
Oh, I love that. I think that's cute. And that's kind of what I hoped someday Caroline would go back and read my blog, because I'm like, that's her. A lot of her childhood is in that blog. And now I don't talk about her that much unless it's in terms of like, this is what we all did this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not as much, because that's, you know, like we've said, as they get older, it all becomes a little more private. But I, you know, those early days, it's like, God, just everything she said, did, wore, whatever was all there.
I know. So that the lesson to me in that is that I need to be merciful with all the documenting, because I documented a lot too. I just wrote it down.
Yes.
I didn't do it with a chalkboard.
No, and I think that there's a time. I think for me, it was that, like, I noticed it when we were in Nashville for 4th of July, because these fireworks that we saw were amazing. And I wanted to get a couple of pictures of them, and I wanted to video them. But then you look up, and I realized, I was like, I think everybody here is just videoing these fireworks through our, is our whole life through our iPhone screen, as opposed to, like, that we're sitting there actually just enjoying the fireworks. And so it was kind of that reminder of, like, I put my phone down and was like, I just want to see the fireworks in the sky.
I know. Well, that's like, I think about that in regards to this, the Egg Bowl this past year, when Sister and I went, you know, and you know, our season was a little disappointing, and we kind of went back and forth, and I really kind of had to talk her into going and all that kind of stuff. But the end of that game, I remember, like, looking around, because it was overtime, and so many people had their phones up and recording, and I was like, oh no, whichever way this goes, I want to see it with my eyes. Like, yes. I don't want to have to go back and see what it was like on my phone. You know what I mean? Like, I want to.
Yeah.
And it ended up being the most fun. I don't know. But again, I'm the person who did not have her wedding videoed. So,
well, that's there you have it. I know. But it is that thing. And it's kind of been a good thing for me, because since then, like last night, I was clearing a bunch of pictures off my phone I didn't need. And those fireworks are on there. And I thought, and here's the whole thing, is that little video I did take in no way captures what we were watching that night.
Right.
Like, so you just realize, like, okay, you know, it's fine to get a little clip or to see some of it so you remember, oh, this is when we saw the fireworks. But the video is never going to capture what the real life experience was.
Right. I guess it's all things in moderation, just like anything else.
Like anything else. I know. Listen, that was So, I don't know. But it's hard, because it's so easy. You think it wasn't. We didn't have the ability to document stuff like that when we were younger.
No, but I still maintain that even if we had, my parents would not have. I mean, that was just not there. Oh, I hear Caroline.
Yeah, she just woke up a little while ago. She's sitting here next to me now. She came stumbling out. You'll appreciate she's wearing a t-shirt that says, I love bacon.
Alex has an I love bacon t-shirt. Is hers blue?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's blue. With the fried egg. The heart inside the fried egg. Yeah.
Same one.
What?
Listen, who'd have thunk it?
I don't like this shirt. That's why I have it as pajamas.
I know, but it's fine. She doesn't like that shirt. That's why she wears it as pajamas.
I gotcha. That's okay.
It was a hand-me-down from somebody. Somebody gave it to her, and so she just wears it as a nightshirt. But I feel like it's appropriate for a nightshirt, because I love bacon. You get up and eat your breakfast.
Yeah.
So, well, there you have it.
All right. Well, what are y'all doing today?
I think we are going to go to, well, I need to call about some tile, you know, our bathroom.
Yes.
We hit some roadblocks in our bathroom project. But on the bright side, we have found it's made us take a different turn, but I think it's going to work out fine. So the tile, I'll go ahead and say the tile. Did I tell you the whole thing that I thought the tile, what they had quoted me, I'd emailed about this gorgeous tile that I wanted, and I emailed them to get a quote, and I did not read the email back carefully enough. And so what they quoted to me is the shipping cost, I thought was the cost of the tile plus shipping.
No, that was just what it was going to cost to have it shipped.
Sure, yeah.
And I will tell you that I thought even that was high, but mm-hmm. I was like, well, but it's a tile. We're going to have it forever. So when you realize that's just what they were charging to have it shipped, Perry and I were kind of like, well, unless Carolina's going to go to college in her bathroom,
right.
that's probably more than we need to spend on all that tile.
Right.
So, which we can still maybe use some. But anyway, then I remembered we live in San Antonio where there is a lot of hand painted tile. And so I'm going to make some phone calls today to figure out some tile options.
Yes.
And then I think we are going to go with Gully and the boys to, there is a new like indoor trampoline park here.
Okay. Please be careful.
Yes. Yes.
Please be careful.
I am not going to be jumping on the trampoline. Yes, I am not. And so, but Caroline and the boys want to go. We were going to go. There's a really cool swimming hole called the Blue Hole. And we thought about doing that, but somehow we ended up on the trampoline park instead. You know, I went to one with our friend Amanda in Houston like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
And we did jump a little bit. And I texted her the next morning and I said, I feel like I've been in a car accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, like things were sore, like particularly like my shoulders and my neck from where, you know, you do your arms up and down while you're jumping. And I was not prepared for that. I was like, oh, so anyway. But that was when Caroline was younger and I felt like, you know, she needed me to jump with her. And now I don't feel like.
You should not feel that burden. Yes.
I don't. Nor do I feel like I really am equipped to, because, you know, Mamaw here probably doesn't need to be on a trampoline.
Sure. Right. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So that's what we're doing. What are y'all doing?
I don't know. I think we're going to run a couple of errands. We may run up to Target and then I'm going to try to write some, but we really, mm-hmm. we don't have a whole lot going on today, which is kind of nice. So, so I don't know. We're just going to kind of take the day as it comes. I reckon I had to cook, some ground chuck last night because it was the sell by date was close. And so I made a big thing of spaghetti sauce. So supper's already ready.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is kind of nice. So we're going to, mm-hmm. we're probably going to run to Target and then, and that's going to be about it for us today, I think.
Okay. All right. You got a big day planned. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I'm glad you soldiered through our early morning podcast.
I did. I made it through. I had a cup of coffee. It was like coffee talk. It was like a different kind of way to start my morning, but mm-hmm. I feel like I made it through at the crack of, I was worried about 9 o'clock, but I think it kind of helped too that you and Annie Downs had your interview for the book. That was probably better that maybe I wasn't a part of that. I might have killed the energy.
No, you'd have been fine. Well, you'd have been fine. Oh, Annie, you're so funny.
Annie, that is hilarious. Annie, tell us more about your book. That was hilarious. I can't wait to hear more about it.
Oh, me. All righty. Okay, well, y'all have a good day.
All right, y'all have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
So Annie and I have talked.
Okay.
So I guess we can do our little intro and then we'll explain what happened.
Okay. Sounds good.
Are you a little bit more awake? Do you feel like, was that okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. Yes, sure. I am more awake.
Okay.
I will be.
Hold on.
I'll turn it on for the camera.
Okay. Hold on.